Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, November 14th, 2022. Man, it's interesting what is going on in the markets and all that's happening. And talk about that. Can't wait to get our good buddy Matt on to talk about what happened on Thursday, and then we had to sit through Friday. But anyway, we'll get into that in just a minute. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information anytime and anywhere in any format. Excuse me, in any format you can listen to anytime, anywhere. But saying that for so many years, I guess I'm getting taking that for granted and doing a little dyslexic thing there. But anyway, special thank you to our sponsors, Candor Technology, one of our newest sponsors, the only automated underwriting system to earn a patent for its truly unique tech solutions. Candor is also optimizes the loan delivery workflow so operations can right size for the last time. And in other words, you get a lot more work out of the underwriter for all that you're paying you. So great technology, and I'm really looking forward to sharing an interview I recorded with Tom. Talked about that last week. Finastro, Fusion Mortgage Bot POS, personalizes the application path based on the borrower specific information and loan type and much more. Be sure to check out what's going on with Finastro. There's a new commitment to what they're the independent mortgage bankers out there. They're making a big push back into the mortgage industry. And there's some things that they have going that we're going to be talking more about in some upcoming hot topics, but check out Finastro. Go to the website, Finastra.com, and check them out. See all that there's going on there. And then also Form Free, my gosh, talk about some innovative things going on. Brent Chandler, who we had on October 17th at Form Free, also had Christy on, about ready to release another interview I spent with Christy at the MBA. Just the innovation that's coming out of Form Free is amazing. They just completed over 3 million in loan, over $3 trillion, I said million, $3 trillion in loan verifications that helped lenders lower the operating costs while improving the borrower experience. Listen to the interview we did October 17th with Brent. Urge you to do so. Lot there. Also, Lender Toolkit, appreciate them. Also, Total Expert, great to have them with us. And Total Expert is leading the way when it comes to CRM. They turn the customer insights into actionable items to increase loyalty and drive growth for the banks, lenders, and credit unions and others. Financial service firm that use their technology. I love it because of what they can do on the recruiting side. Very powerful of what Total Expert does. And they partner well with our next sponsor, Simple Nexus, the mortgage software technology for the modern lender. There's so much going on at Simple Nexus. And I love the fact they're owned by the Encino and that group. And what the bigger vision that's a part of Simple Nexus is pretty astounding. Encourage you to check it out. Also, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modix, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting, all sponsoring us. We're grateful to have them here with us. I forgot to say, when I was mentioning Simple Nexus, go listen to the interview we did with Lori Brewer on November 2nd. Very good. And it gets a little insight. She is now head of programming there. And very exciting product development, some of the things that are going on there. So very, very good. Also, this last week on November 9th, we had the interview with Ira Rosen of Mojo Global. And the topic was adapting today's entrepreneur in a new currency. And you kind of hear what he was talking about. Very interesting. And I've got a lot of feedback from listeners that listen to that. A big shout out goes out to the folks at Independent Financial, because they were saying, we love that podcast with Ira, but they really liked the podcast, as did I, with Dre Roberts. And so we were talking about there was how to use your warehouse lender as an advisor. You know, we're advisors, And it's good to have business advisors. And we're certainly one of them, and we encourage you to check out all the business advisors out there in the market. But you should be really talking to your warehouse lender. As Joy brought out in the interview that we did on November 11th, really important information about how you can leverage and talk to your warehouse lenders. Dre is just one of those individuals I could just turn on the mic and record and record and record. There's so much great information that he provided. So Jim Harrison and he team up. They do an awesome job. They're big fans of the podcast, and we're fans of them. So check out and listen to the interview on November 11th, this last week. I believe that's on Veterans Day on Friday. So also, we've got some others coming up. No other upcoming episodes this week yet. Stay tuned on that. But I want to say a special thank you and incredibly grateful for Adam DeSanctis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, who's here live today, and Mr. Kittle, as well as Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, and Mark Helm. Mark, good to have you here, my co-host. Good to have you on the podcast, friend.
Certainly glad to be here, my friend.
Very good. Well, I can't wait to get into it. I see a number of people are dialed in, listening to from around the country. Thank you, listeners. Appreciate it. It's fun to see you dialed in and listening. I know a lot of people are listening on a streaming basis live, but we don't get to see those. But when we see numbers dialing in, it's excellent. So grateful to have you and our sponsors out here with us. Let's get over to the MBA with Adam DeSanctis and this week's MBA's Mortgage Minute. What you got for us, Adam? Here we go.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Here's what you need to know. Last week, 2023 MBA Chairman Matt Rocco joined a small group of industry and affordable housing leaders for a constructive meeting with key White House and agency staff on affordable housing and tenant issues. The group discussed top-line issues and best practices for the rental market, including leasing and compliance, housing counseling and education, affordable housing supply, and ways to help renters eventually become homeowners. Rocco's remarks focused on his experiences as a provider of multifamily financing, highlighting how tenant education can help renters stay in their homes. He also touted credit history and building programs for a way for renters to establish credit for those interested in eventually buying a home. And finally, with midterm congressional election results yet to be determined in some districts, as of this recording, Republicans are trending towards a very narrow House majority, while the Democrats maintain control of the Senate, with the runoff in December determining the final makeup of the chamber. MBA will continue to actively review and monitor those outcomes as officially finalized and comment on their implications to members in the coming days and weeks. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Yes, good job. Adam DeSantis, thank you so much. Talk about a makeup. Man, some of us are sitting on our edge of our seat as we look at this last election. You look at Arizona and say, my gosh, how good screwed up. I mean, it looks like a third world country the way that's being run over there. It's just going out by drips and drabs. So a lot to be yet to be determined. Looks like the House has gone as it is to Republicans, but things not over. Stay tuned. Now, I can't wait to get the MBA. We're so grateful to have for the MBA and what they do on the Hill for us. Thank you, MBA. And thank you, Adam DeSanctis. Les Parker's here with a macro view of the markets and sponsored by TM Spotlight. And really appreciate them. It's actually sponsored by Power. As in Empower, but I mean, as in Power Seller, excuse me, get it right here. But let's hear what Les has to say, especially with his last segment last week was like one of a kind. But he's got something for us this week, and I can't wait. Got an anticipation of what he might be talking about.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Power Seller, making hedging easy.
Hi, Bull's got a new life. Who could hardly recognize them? They're so glad. How could inflation like them with no clue?
Shazam! Bang!
The market saw the sign of slowing inflation, dropping rates over 0.25% on Friday. Another sign came from the flash data on rent prices falling. Landlords discovered renters don't have the income to pay any more increases. As a result, renters are looking to buy, but rates need to drop more to make it sensible.
Bull saw the sign.
Yeah. These views are my own. See signs at tmspotlight.com.
Now, there you go. I don't know if we can out top last week with Les crying like he did on there. Man, that was amazing. Almost wish we could get Les to join us today, because I'm thinking about all the margin calls, and which I'm really looking forward to getting over to Matt Graham now. So anyway, before we go there, let's say Les Parker, you can check out his TM Spotlight newsletters at tmspotlight.com. You can also sign up for his newsletter and get the paid version for free if you put the code POWER for Power Seller in the code section there when signing up for the newsletter. Really good newsletter. I read it every single day. Les says I don't, but I actually do. Fascinating information there. Really well written. And something I've been doing for nearly 40 years. Love Les's stuff. I also love Matt Graham. He's electronic, and I'm an electronic kind of guy. Les is kind of old-fashioned. He still does everything on and sending out the emails. But Matt's live. He's got flashing screens right behind me, and Matt's live here. And Matt, how was your weekend? What's this about you being a farmer now?
Yeah, doing a little farming. Had to rebuild a chain link fence. It was fun.
Yeah.
Was good, honest day's work. And I think you referred to me as being electronic too. So that is another secret you let out of the bag. People didn't know I was a robot. They long suspected it, but they know.
You are a carbon-based system. There's no question about it. You're not. You are definitely a carbon-based person. But you do use it. The technology at MBS Live.
The MBS Live. Yes.
That is
electronic stuff.
Very.
So we got some ground to cover because crazy stuff happened. Most people already know, if they're in the mortgage market, how big the movement was on Thursday. But we'll just recap it really quick. And there are a few anecdotes that you can use to convey to others just how big things are. We'll get to that in a second. So last week, really, just all a buildup to CPI. In fact, everything since the last CPI has been a buildup to this most recent CPI. For those listening who are like, what is CPI? That's the Consumer Price Index, the most important inflation report that we get on any given month. It's not necessarily the one that the Fed says is their favorite, but it comes out 2 weeks earlier than the Fed's favorite one. And as such, has the distinct honor of moving the bond market more than any other report in 2022. And that's the 2022 phenomenon, and a phenomenon that's reserved for other years in which inflation is in prime focus. So normally we'd say the jobs report is the most important bond market consideration as far as economic data goes. Right now it's CPI, and it has been. And this one in particular was going to be huge for a while because we have a little back and forth with the notion of inflation topping out in 2022. There was some promising developments in July, and there was also a little bit of a warning. So we had core CPI fall to 0.3 month over month back then, and headline CPI fell even more. The warning at the time was maybe we don't want to read too much into this because this was the big fuel price correction month. And indeed, the next 2 months, we saw CPI move back up. And that coincided with Fed speakers saying we haven't seen any improvement in core inflation. And so with that, each new instance of CPI became the potential day one, the potential starting point for a shift in inflation. And it would require month-over-month core inflation coming in lower than 0.6. The last two reports had been 0.6. This one last week was forecast to drop to 0.5. And again, we're talking about core inflation, which is excluding food and energy. And it actually came in at 0.3. So 0.2% doesn't sound like a very big miss, or in this case, I would call it a beat because we want lower inflation. Huge. Not only that, fuel prices moved up during the time that the data was collected versus the previous data collection period. So there was no yeah, but from falling fuel prices. And markets reacted every bit as much as we thought they would. And then they reacted even more So we knew that this was going to be huge, or we suspected it was going to be huge. You can never really know just how huge something will be. But, you know, we figured, hey, look, there's big potential for markets to move, and it was even bigger than we thought. So Les mentioned 25 bips in treasuries versus a 3 p.m. close, which a lot of bond traders use. It was 30 bips, more than 30 bips. And then in terms of, you know, putting it into historical context, it was the biggest intraday drop in the 10-year yield since 2009. And speaking of 2009, that's when we started keeping day-over-day records on mortgage rates. So all we can do is go back to 2009, but we don't see anything bigger, even including the March 2020 volatility. So if you wanted to tell people, it was the biggest day-over-day drop in mortgage rates on record, that would not be an exaggeration. I don't know what we would find if we went and looked at day-over-day drops, you know, back in the early 80s, but conceivably there could be something similar. I don't have the day-over-day data to show it. So that's what happened. What does it mean? What's going to keep happening? So far this week, we're holding most of the gains in bonds. MBS may be down 0.375, but considering they were up more than 2 points on Thursday, losing 0.375 is no big deal. Same story in treasuries, up only 2.4 bips. So, you know, considering the 30 bip drop, not a big deal. And again, though, this is day one, report one. This is the first of a two-part confirmation of a shift in inflation that we're looking for to truly restore the affordability that Les was talking about. So, you know, we can get rates down from 7 1/8 to 6.5, but it's that next percent or so that makes a bigger difference for more people. This sort of just takes the edge off the brutality of 2022. It doesn't really shift the narrative yet. So for the narrative to shift, we need the next report to come in similarly friendly, and for the Fed to continue gesturing to a slower pace of rate hikes, maybe even hiking less than, you know, 50 bips in December. We'll see. Maybe they only hike 25 if the inflation data comes in low enough. But that's cart before the horse at this point. The Fed should acknowledge, should continue to acknowledge that things, it makes sense for things to level off in terms of the rate hike trajectory. They need to give policy time to work and do its thing. And if inflation is remaining in check, they don't really have a need to hike any more than they already have, even though they say they will. So it's hopeful. It's, you know, it's check.
It is.
It's but check. It's not checkmate. Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. That's a great way to put it, Matt. Yeah, it's check, but definitely not checkmate. So what is the big movers on the economic data, did you say, that we should be looking for this week?
Yeah, coming up this week, not a really intense week of scheduled data. We do have core producer – or not core producer price. We have the producer price index tomorrow, and that sounds like an inflation report. It is. But just because it says price index, it's not as big of a market mover as CPI. So that's just at the wholesale level, and we've already seen the effect on the consumer level, which is what we care about anyway. But it can be a little bit of a market mover. Retail sales on Wednesday would be the headline for that day, and we just haven't seen a ton of reaction to retail sales in general. Other than that, mostly housing data for the week, builder confidence on Wednesday, and then we have permits and starts on Thursday, existing home sales on Friday. And then the non-housing related data, Philly Fed, and where did I put that? Philly Fed is on Thursday, and leading indicators on Friday. Oh, and Empire State Manufacturing on Tuesday. None of the above are anything better than, you know, second tier when it comes to market movement potential. So I think the market's really just going to be trading it out, as I like to say, sort of just digesting last Thursday's move. We're going to get some new corporate bond issuance working through the market, 20-year bond auction on Wednesday, and traders just getting comfortable with the 10-year yields back well under 4%.
Yeah, there's this really interesting what's the setup is, and I want to get your thoughts on what happened with FTX last week, the complete debacle there. What, I mean, does that ever, how do you see that playing over into the bond market. Is what's the potential for that? What should, anything we should be considering? I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal, the latest article. I mean, there's, yeah, there's a lot more things going on, and prosecutors beginning to look at this. So,
yeah. So I don't have strong opinions or experiences with this, but I can say that for the first time, I looked at news headlines and what some other people were saying and actually thought to myself, hey, maybe that's having an impact. So that's a first to consider crypto as having an impact on the bond market. I don't know if it is or not. I just know that the bluster surrounding the situation was big enough to get attention. I think in a general sense, and I want to put a huge caveat out here that I don't know what I don't know, and there could be other considerations I'm missing. But in a general sense, if something is bad for financial stability, if something, you know, speaks to some big sort of crashy thing, and that crashy thing doesn't involve the bond market directly, that's usually good for bonds, you know, from a risk management standpoint. Now, if it involves bonds in some way, which I'm unaware of, then there,
I think you nailed it. I think it's more of an emotional impact. I mean, just the whole psychic of what's going on out there and the concern for instability and what else could out there. The one article, Wall Street Journal article that I saw that says the second shoe just dropped on FTX. Didn't get a chance to read their article. I just saw that come in just about the time we were firing up to go do the podcast here, firing up our technology. But I mean, I think it's one of those things, it's the psychological, it's creating a sense of uncertainty. And all of that usually favors interest rates when you have the more uncertainty like that.
Yeah.
And questions.
Yeah,
I think the uncertainty
narrative is definitely churning right now. You know, whether or not it's reflected in the data, we're all hearing more and more from people that are starting to feel a more recessionary vibe. And that varies a lot, you know, depending on exactly who you talk to, what industries and whatnot. Certainly in the mortgage industry, everybody is feeling it. But even outside, anything that's rate sensitive, you know, auto sales, things like that, there is a sense, and you're hearing more about layoffs, right? Layoffs in places that aren't at interest rate sensitive things. So exactly what the Fed was hoping to accomplish seems to be starting in a way that's measurable. And this is potentially just another symptom of that underlying issue.
Yeah, that's really good.
And yes, that's all good for rates.
Yeah, it's all good for rates. Anything that's it's so perverse. We always cheer on when we get excited when we see bad economic news, bad stuff, concern, uncertainty. It sounds like we're kind of a dysfunctional industry here as we look at it, but it is good for interest rates, and it does help get us back, hopefully gets us out of the toxicity, or what was the word you used? A dramatic, I can't remember used in your report. Traumatic, because it has been traumatic. I think that's the word you used.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, the trauma is not over for sure. There's still a reset that's ongoing, but
I know you steer out of politics, which I respect. I mean, I respect you at so many many levels, Matt, for how you approach so much of things. You don't prognosticate where interest rates are going. I'm not playing it. I report the facts, nothing but the facts type of thing. And also looking at politics, you just kind of stay out of there. But if we were to see any major swings, like we know, it sounds like the House. I mean, do you have any thoughts on how that might be impacting mortgage rates?
I mean, it's something that I consider when I think it's, you know, decisively going to move the bond market. In this case, I don't. The one narrative that I have come across from other people that approach politics the same way I do is generally something to the effect of gridlock. Political gridlock is usually good for bonds because it makes it harder for the government to spend money. And I think you have to have gridlock either way for the next 2 years because you don't have one unified red or blue color in control of the government. Yep. So until that happens, when that happens, that's generally bad for rates. And I think there are some charts or some articles on that that, you know, you can Google to see what happens with rates when one political party is in exclusive control. And I'm not sure if I'm remembering that right, but I do know, for instance, with something like the tax bill decreasing revenues, that the bond market is a little bit freaked out about that. And it wasn't about Trump. A lot of people wanted to make that about Trump, but it was really about exclusive Republican control and the implications for growth and tax revenue.
I enjoy your site. I enjoy your commentary. Just a good level-headed, good thinker, commentator. Mark, let's get you in. Any questions you have for Matt? Any reflections on our comments so far? Didn't mean to, should have brought you in earlier.
Well, I think so. I live the Matt. I live the '80s, and I remember that when I had a 17% interest rate on a VA loan, and I do believe we probably had some declines that were experiencing that because the rates were so high and they did come down and all that stuff. And I remember all of us saying when they finally got normalized again, we said we never want to go there again.
Don't
want
to go
there. Never really want to go there again. So,
well,
but
how about,
I would bet there probably was a decrease back then that would equal what we had. But
yeah, that's
I don't know
what
if
I
they
was
kept records
saying.
Back then.
Yeah, I don't know
I
if
would
they
guess
kept
so as well.
Yeah, I was thinking that the biggest single day drop since 2009. But I have some recollection there were some significant drops. There's some notable dates in my mind, but I have to go back and take a look at it. We don't have the data. I don't have the data on my finger test, but that's going to give some of our listeners a chance to go out and research, and they'll email us. And then, of course, Les Parker's listening to this, so I know he's got some thoughts on it. He'll share some things with us, and we'll get that out there. But, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how – I think it's relevant. What's relevant about this is what we learn from history. What we failed to learn from history, we're doing to repeat. So I think it's one of those things that's imperative that we try to get as much historical data points and how markets reacted. Now, certainly things were different from a political standpoint, or were they? Every time you think about this is the most important election ever, or this is the most important whatever, you're going to go, how many times have we heard that? Yeah, every one of them is important. Matt? I got to tell you, I could go on and on with you. I love your website, mbslive.net. I encourage everyone who hasn't signed up to go ahead and sign up for the trial period. And you put in LOL listeners to the sign-up code, and you'll get an extended trial period without a credit card required. I don't know why. You should just get your credit card and sign up for this thing. It's so affordable, and it's such great amount of information all over the place. There's just nonstop. So, Matt, I appreciate you. I appreciate your service. I appreciate you being here each and every week, friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good week.
You bet. Normally, we would go over to Mr. Kittle today. See, man, he thought he might be able to join us at the bottom of the hour. He's not dialed in yet. So, Mark, you and I are going to go down, talk about production a little bit here and talk about where things are at in originations. There was a big announcement that came out this morning in Housing Wire. I was texting Casey Crawford earlier this morning. I had the privilege of staying and still serving as an advisor to Casey and a lot of what goes on there in a different perspective. But, great, great friend, and just amazed at what they're doing. But the big deal that the announcement that came out is Movement Mortgage has acquired a top originator. It's Mortgage Network. And I'm reading as I'm trying to talk to you. Houlihan Lokey is the one that served as advisor, as well as Pierce Atwood also served as a legal advisor to this. And then I'm really interested in some of the thoughts of what's going on out there, Mark. There's also another major one, and we're all hearing the rumors. I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but there are rumors that Guild is very close to announcing a major acquisition of a major lender. And I'm not going to mention the name of the lender. We'll mention Guild, that they're in the rumor mill out there. I've talked close. I've been in Guild's offices, met with them. Marianne, the group, I mean, just an amazing team of people. David Batney saw him in Nashville. So there is a lot. I was teasing David, said, when's the big announcement going to be made? He says, stay tuned. But that's not even coming close to confirming. I think they could be say that they just partnered with somebody, a technology firm like they did with FormFree. But there is certainly a lot of language out there, a lot of talk, Mark, a lot of rumors flying about different ones. And I think this latest market move, which Matt's still here, dialed in, with the margin calls that happened as a result of Thursday, and it's causing the people got the phone call, got the bill this morning. They got to wire money this morning. Now they're getting it on the other side. One position settles out, and it's a big check they have to write, and that can cause for a lot of people, especially those that are real thin on capital because they've been losing money, bleeding out. There's some panic out there, Mark. So want to get your thoughts on what do you think? You've been a veteran in this industry as I have. I mean, 50 years, you're nearly there with me. What's your thoughts?
Well, David, you know, this is nothing new to us, especially us, because we've seen so many cycles of this in the industry. And I wouldn't trade the knowledge I gained from those cycles for anything in the world. But interesting, I've been, because of some personal interests, I have some companies that I'm looking at selling. I've been on the phone with a number of M&A folks in the last 2-3 weeks, and we can't be on the phone without going off on tangent conversations, talking about what's happening in the industry in general. And I'm getting the flavor that there's a lot more deals out there being worked right now than we have any idea there are. I think it could blow us away how many M&A deals go down between now and year end. I really do. And this is already the middle of November, so we're talking about things happen in the next 45 days. And I think there will be a move to a lot of deals coming. I think we haven't seen all of them yet because a lot of them are being kept really confidential. This is typical of times like ours as people kind of get weary of living through what they're living in with the downsizing, cost cutting, and all those things and saying, you know, it's time for me to take my chips off the table. And those people might leave and never come back to the industry, but there will be other people that step in their place. So it's a continuing cycle we have in mortgage banking. Nothing new. It's just going to be more traumatic what's going to happen in volume and size of deals, I think, for the next 60 to 90 days than it has been in any period we've seen in the last couple of years. And that's my projection.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think this is a great – I mean, in the article, in the Housing Wire article that was published today, it says the Mortgage Network, the company that's being acquired, is in Danvers, Massachusetts, was founded in 1988 by Robert McGinnis. I believe I'm saying that right. And he's the chairman, CEO. And Albert Pear is the other individual, Pear. Anyway, they've been around, and they said, you know, it's just a good time. After 34 years, this is his quote, after 34 years, it was time to find a new home for my team that values its employees and customers as much as we have. I strongly believe Movement is the company to accomplish this. So it was a very positive statement, and it really speaks to culture. And I think when you're looking at the exits, this was a very intentional exit. But Matt, I do wonder how much volatility is going to cause for a market volatility, specifically margin calls, is going to drive more of that. Do you have any sense of that with the companies that are on your platform?
Of driving M&A activity?
Yes. Yeah. Where you see emotional reactions saying, throwing the flag in, saying that's it, too much.
Yeah. I haven't heard much about it driving M&A as much as just, shutting down channels. And I'm not even sure that it would be as much about margin calls as it would be. I view margin calls as like, you know, a temporary source of panic and hysteria that is usually resolvable, whereas the breadth of the downturn, however many decade lows we're at in terms of originations is really the big issue.
Yeah, I think this has got an emotional component, Matt. And I think in a normal logical times, but I'm looking at the emotions, the rise in interest rates happened substantially faster than we all anticipated. And the drop on Thursday was certainly faster and further than many of us. And it's these kind of things that whipsaw things. And when you're bleeding out in the field of battle, when you're out there trying to compete, and many are trying to cut to the right levels, as Mr. Kittle would say, is right sizing. Everyone's trying to get to the right levels. And then you have a market movement. I think this might have more of an emotional play on it, that if they were on the fence, should they or should they not do something? And a number of companies are just closing their doors. We're hearing that. And those are the ones that slowly and quietly slip below the waves, so to speak, using that Titanic analogy. And you just don't know. And there's not a lot of cries. All of a sudden, there's just fewer voices out there in the ocean, cold ocean. And it is cold out there. Very good. I think it's going to be interesting. A lot more, Mark, I think you're spot on. A lot more activity in the M&A area, and there are a number of deals that are underway that will soon be talked about in the press. A lot more of these kind of headlines coming out. So that is our thoughts on origination. Matt, anything you want to add to that before we move on to Alice Alvey?
No, I'm good. Hope everybody has a good week of originating and can get some deals back with the drop in rates.
Yeah, I hope so. We credit you for that, obviously. Joking.
Yes, I did it.
Of course, yes, you did. Mark, anything before we go over to Alice?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, Alice Alvey couldn't be here with us live, but thank you, Alice, for recording her comments, and I want to share those with you right now. So here you go with Alice Alvey's report.
Thanks, Dave. Well, we have two things that were introduced on November 10th. The first one was the CFPB outlining proposals that are going to be under consideration that came from a small business advisory review panel. These are all focused on personal financial data rights, but in checking through this, I could see that it wasn't going to be touching the mortgage industry. It's really focused on banks who offer account access, credit type access, and it's not going to be impacting mortgage lenders. So that's a big relief. Anytime we see something about data security coming from CFPB, we know it's going to be costly. We already have a lot that we have to try and make sure we keep secure. And I was thankful to read this and find that it wasn't going to be another layer for mortgage lenders. Now, banks and depositories who hold asset accounts or run equipment that could be a service provider underneath this regulation would have to look at being able to transfer a customer's account upon the customer's request. So this rule is aiming at if a customer has a lot of data with you already and you're handling certain types of accounts, then if they want to switch to another provider, you would have to provide the new entity with all of their data. So in other words, changing it so the consumer owned the data. So you might want to respond to this just on a personal level if you like to make sure your data is free for you to move around from different providers. But as far as an industry impact, there won't be one for us. Now, the other one that came out was on November 10th, the FTC published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking on deceptive and unfair practices relating to junk fees. Now, as I was reading through this, I was hoping for another exclusion, but I don't see that in here. It goes on quite a bit, focused on several other industries, focused on ticket prices, you know, and all the hidden fees that can be there, right? We've all experienced that in trying to buy a concert ticket. But then it does reference that they know the CFPB has a few things out there, but when you get to the actual comment phase where they are asking questions and wanting to receive comments from the industry, they're not specifically excluding us up front. There is a provision in here where they ask, you know, who should be included in this regulation. So my encouragement here for everyone on this line is get out there, comment on this proposal. Like we do with others, I'll send the link to Dave and it'll be available on his website where you want to go out and comment and say, you know what, we've got the Truth in Lending Act. We have other aspects of unfair, deceptive, and abusive practices acts that we have to follow. We have advertising laws already that we have to follow. And we really do have a loan estimate and a closing disclosure that give all the information to the consumer so they can shop properly. We are not the industry that needs to be targeted here. So there's enough inference throughout their intent to indicate we've got a good chance of making sure we're excluded because of all the other regulations out there that cover us, but we want to make sure this is the time to get on board and address these things and get them out of proposed rules from the very beginning. So we're only at the advanced notice of proposed rulemaking stage where they're making an initial inquiry. So now's the time to comment, and we have until January 9th to comment. So that's my report for today, everybody. Make sure you're all out there being active and making sure your voice in the industry is heard. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, Alice. That is so important. We talked about that last week. Why are more people not commenting on these things? Your voice does need to be heard. Mark, your thoughts, analysis, comments.
I think the point's well taken. If we don't comment on these, we get what we deserve. You know, we need to really reach out as individuals concerned about our industry and making sure we build as many roadblocks to things that are unnecessarily laid upon us that add administrative costs, penalties, and all other assorted things to us that we don't need. So I recommend highly that everybody looks at the link on the website and gets a comment in on this. I, for one, will do that. So yeah. It's our industry. We got to manage it as best we can.
I think it's such a great point. I mean, it starts with us, me, you, getting out there. And that's why I love the NBA. I love what the NBA is doing at so many levels. There's the commentary. You go directly to the website. But also, we need to be in there as members of the NBA supporting these initiatives. But the NBA has created a wonderful, wonderful tool under David Stevens' leadership back when he was there at the NBA, and that's called the Mortgage Action Alliance. And that's another tool where we can communicate and have our voice heard. I failed to say that when we were mentioning our sponsors, but I want to definitely call your attention to the Mortgage Action Alliance. Sign it up and have your voice heard there. Definitely go to our website, the podcast website here today, and we'll have the link that Alice referenced in there. Another thing, Mark, that she mentioned was the moving of borrower data. FormFree, one of our sponsors, got the passbook, and this is the very concept that Brent and his team have created, the ability the consumer owns the data and they can move it. They can authorize who sees it, to the what extent do they see it. I love that kind of technology. So I wanted on Alice's comments that came up. Mark, anything else?
No, sir. No, sir.
All right. Alan Pollack. I'm so excited to have Alan here. Alan, when I watched, good to have you here, Alan. I just want to make sure your mic's on.
Great to be here.
That's good, good, good. I was thinking about the FTX debacle. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
That's kind of over in your area, FTX, big bankruptcy. What, I mean, 40% off in a crypto market all the way across the board. What does Alan Pollack, mortgage tech expert, have to say?
You know, I've never really jumped into the crypto side. While everything is recorded, right, we've talked about blockchain so many times,
right.
There was crypto.com had a bad $405 million transaction trigger. There's all these things going on. I think it's new. The regulation doesn't exist as many people expect. And it has internet – everything has an international influence, but I think it has a much stronger, much more diverse international influence. And the markets all over the world are different right now. So
yeah.
I really don't have any other opinion, David, on the crypto side. I've stayed away from it. I have some friends that are in it and some folks that actually put servers in a cool location and they're mining, and they're just holding on for right now.
Yeah. Anyone who's in that has been down 40%. My wife was reading me an article on Friday that there was a billionaire. I think if I recall the number correctly, he had $16 billion. He was worth $16 billion just before this happened. And he had everything in FTX. I don't know that. How could someone have billions of dollars, Mark, and have it all on one spot in the roulette wheel on the table and spin the dice with that? It just seems so crazy. So he went from $16 billion to broke.
I read a different article, David. I read an article. He went from $16 billion to $1.6 billion. So if he went broke, that's one thing. But if he still got $1.6 billion, I don't feel too sorry for him.
Yeah.
He's considered, David, the crypto white knight, and he lost 94% of his wealth in a single day.
You go like, this is where you play these speculative markets. Stay in real estate. Buy a property. May go up and down, but my gosh. Well, Alan, let's get on to the rest of your report. Thanks for weighing in on that. I was thinking about you when I read that article.
Yeah, absolutely. So great to be here. I spoke to someone the other day, and they said they liked the robot stuff I bring up. You know, the automated food and Walgreens and the automated prescriptions. So for today, funny enough, and this time Facebook wasn't listening to me, but what popped up was the robot waiter. And it's really funny. It's called Orion Star. And the way I've been in a restaurant where these have existed, they're called Lucky, L-U-C-K-I. And get this, they drive around. They have a fish eye lens. They're spill-proof delivery. and they're equipped with what they call Orion Star technology, right? Reminds you of OnStar. And they include radar scanning, as I mentioned, the fish eye, and RGBD multi-sensors. And they have precise laser-based navigation and segmented speed control. And what's really cool is that you use them for things beyond just delivering food. But what's really cool is they go back and forth, and they know based on that mapping, just like your robotic vacuum does, where to go and what to do. And I was in a restaurant on vacation last summer in the Keys, and they had these robots. And what was funny is somebody slid their chair out, and it knocked off the path of one of the robots, and the robot actually got stuck behind the chair and kept saying, I'm stuck. And like every 20 seconds, it would say, I'm stuck, until somebody actually came and moved the robot, because the other robot had to go around it. And I guess they're like in a road, right? You can't cross the solid or double yellow line. And it was really funny. So technology is not perfect. And I tell that to people every day, because obviously we're all in technology. People make mistakes. Technology makes mistakes because it's built and driven by people, and AI is not perfected. But for those of you, you may want to Google and see, where can you go visit a real live Lucky? And that's L-U-C-K-I.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious. Well.
Yeah. Well, it was either that, David, or I was going to bring up an article I saw, the hottest tech gadgets of the year and what's going to sell big this holiday season. So maybe I'll save that for next week.
Save that one for next week. Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's
what
move
about
on.
Mortgage
biggest
tech?
News.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And this one I'm so proud of. I was part of MeridianLink. We all know who they are. They announced the acquisition of OpenClose.
Yes.
And that was an unbelievable acquisition. All of the parties involved were extremely excited. And you know, as these things, as everyone knows, these things take time, a lot of due diligence. So now, as the official statement, MeridianLink, basically they're saying they're going to be combining all the technology leaders to offer an omni-channel mortgage solution that improves efficiency while reducing costs and time to close, which is all the automation, all the things we've been talking about all the time on this podcast. And as part of the integration, so if you are a MeridianLink mortgage user, or you're looking to, or an OpenClose user, MeridianLink mortgage customers will be able to access the OpenClose point of sale system called Consumer Assist, and OpenClose lender assist customers will be able to leverage the pricing engine called MeridianLink Price My Loan. And there'll be other great integrations. At this time, both platforms are going to continue to be invested upon. They're going to continue to be offered out to the industry. And the leadership being able to join forces is going to be a lot of fun and a lot of wonderful things to come.
Very exciting.
Yes, very, very exciting.
Well,
so
congratulations.
About,
that's your company. That's one of your – that's your company.
Yes.
So you participate in that. So are you going to go
I'll
buy a bigger house now?
No, I actually finally closed on my house, and so everyone remembers all of the struggles of the last year and a half of losing bids. So I found a credit union online that was a point to a point and a half lower than everyone in the market. So I got a 5/6 jumbo ARM. Now, this is a technology-first credit union, meaning they have no physical location. They're online only. I got a 5/6 jumbo ARM for 5.5% with a $1,500 rebate. I did it about 30 days ago. They closed the loan. It was a jumbo as well. They closed the loan in 29 days. Not one hiccup existed. Now, they had multiple technology platforms that were not all consolidated together. And being in the tech space, I understood it. The average person may fumble. There wasn't any issues in preparing for the closing. There weren't any issues at the closing. I was able to do my CD ahead of time, and then anything that needed wet signature at the end. So I did not have a full digital e-closing. But I have to tell you that using the different technology platforms that I talk about all the time but maybe not get to use was quite interesting and eye-opening. And I saw some great things, and I saw some challenging things. So all I can say is I can relate to you. I understand what your customers, your borrowers are going through because I just did it. But it still wasn't a bad experience compared to prior homes that I purchased where it was completely paper-based. So as David, I finally did acquire or buy my home, and super excited. So it's been a big month for me. Let's move on.
Congratulations. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So Figure Technologies, we've talked about them, right? We know some folks that work over there, some big names in the industry, and we know that the big thing is what, they're blockchain powered. So as a financial services platform, they've now announced a partnership with the mortgage fintech company ReadyLife. And I'm not sure if anyone's heard of ReadyLife. I'll talk about it in a moment here. But as part of this new partnership, ReadyPay, which is one of their platforms, those customers can apply for a mortgage loan. You get ready? Without a credit score. And they can review their options through the mobile app that's powered by Figure Payments. It's all based on blockchain technology. And it's banking as a service, BaaS, very similar to software as a service. And it's this, it's a retail offering, or it's an offering for retailers, fintech, and banks. And anyone who pays their rent on time using the ReadyPay Visa debit card or the digital account, meaning on your phone or online, can qualify for your mortgage without a credit score. And really interesting, if you're looking to partner with them or learn more, you want to reach out to them. They really do have an interesting idea. Remember, right, it's for the non-Figure technology folks. We could possibly have a change to how credit scores impact our industry, and that's something that I know a lot of people are looking out to, and that's because of all the advancements in technology that have been made over the years, including, obviously, needed changes in the folks that look for those changes all the time, but technology has paved the way for that to happen. Changing topics, David, outside of the fintech there. Inman, which is a great place to get your news. Well, they had something, and for those of you that are not focused on building tech, but you're focused on digital marketing, you want to look at this. The article is called Three Steps to Formulate Next Year's Digital Marketing Strategy. And they have three quick things, and I'm only going to mention them, not talk about them. You want to go Google and look for this article. It's called Perfect Your Online Presence is step one. Step two is develop a content roadmap, and step three is automate your marketing tactics. Step three is the most important one, right? Know what you need to do, know where you need to go, and get that automation. That's the technology lift. And if you go to our website or read any of our LinkedIn posts, you'll see some of our CRM sponsors, and there's plenty other ones out there. Talk to them, work with them, figure out what works. Remember, they work with others in the industry, and they also can tell you what can and can't work or where they've had success, especially as the market changes. Marketing is so, so important. So, all right, David, this is where I promised we would get into. And last week we talked about if you're building technology, and now, by the way, right, tech adoption is – that is, you must do that right now. Now, the question is whether you're doing it with your vendors or whether you're doing it on your own. We talked about last week doing it on with vendors, and we talked about the Moscow method, right? Should have, could have, won't have, and must have. Well, we said that if you're building your own tech, right, and you're not working with vendors, if you had to consolidate some staff or have some of the folks help out in other areas of the company, what are the folks that you must have? Who must still be in those seats, those butts in seats? And here's what they are. It's really simple. You have to have a project management, right? You needed PMs if you're working with other folks, vendors. You still need to have PMs if you're working internally. It can PMs be one PM and it can be a lighter load, but you have to have a PM. Now, you can call them a project manager or you can call them a product manager. Both terms can work.
Okay.
Yep, they're truly separate, David. They're not the same, but they can be the same if you're working on a skeleton crew.
Yep.
Also, an engineer and a tester. Okay? Now, there's many other roles that you can say, oh, we must have, right, like a BA, like a dedicated QA department, but you need either an engineer and a QA/tester or an engineer tester. And those are the most critical roles, and you can call that a little hub, those 2 to 3 people, and you can replicate that as many times as you need. But the goal is to keep your projects moving ahead. You have to have a plan, and you have to be accountable and work towards that plan. It's more important to be accountable to that plan right now when you have the opportunity to build and be ready for the next wave that'll come back, as we all know the market will, and make sure that you don't have many footballs that you tried to move over the goal line. You have just a few that you know you can move over the goal line. And so I'll leave that open for discussion, David, but those are the most important folks. And then before I end and open for conversation, I do want to mention next week we're going to talk about an amazing topic. It's called Web3. If you all remember,
yeah.
Yep, Web3 is the new internet, the new mobile-based technology. So Web3 is the future of mobile mortgages. And there's a great article, National Mortgage Professional, about this. I'll talk about that next week. But again, David, just circling back so I don't lose everybody, if you're building tech, project management, an engineer, and a tester, those are your most important folks.
Yep, good stuff. Mark Helm, your thoughts, any questions for Alan?
Alan, I got one thing. I'm still wondering in my mind where all the people that used to run cash registers in stores have gone, or waiting on you in restaurants or whatever. And I'm still totally amazed how many McDonald's are still closed on the inside, and Chick-fil-A, because they can't get people to open their dining room. So we go and check out of the place, and I saw a sign. You being a tech person, I thought you'd get a kick out of. I went into a major retailer. It might be the biggest one, you know, the guys in Arkansas. And I went in there and did my self-checkout, and I looked up on top of the terminal, and there was a sign posted. It says, if this terminal does not beep on your barcode, it does not mean the product is free.
That is great.
That is hilarious.
So, Mark, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but in a few airports around the country, they have these Amazon hubs.
Yes.
So I was in one, my first one recently, and I walked around, I picked stuff up, put it down, and when I left, the gate automatically opened. I never got charged. Nothing hit my account. I checked Amazon, I checked my credit card. Somehow it got confused. So I'm curious how much of that tech needs better refinement, or will need somebody still checking you out, kind of like what you were just talking about.
Well, the other one I love is when you go to a terminal and you check out, and you push the button for email receipt, and then you get to the door and somebody wants to see your receipt.
Yeah.
I mean, they ought to give you a confirmation slip or something, even when you say email receipt, you know, something to say he paid or whatever. And you get to the door and they want to check your receipt. And I said, over there.
You just run. You get your wife to start the car and you run.
Not a good idea. I got chased. I bought my wife some flowers. I was going out of the store and the lady came running out after me after the door. She says, sir, did you pay for those? And, you know, I was resisting. I had a good attitude about it. Just pulled the receipt out. I said, yep, sure did. Here it is. But I was thinking about that. And I mean, how many people, she said, I hate to say it, there's none, because the flower shop is right at the door. How many people run out of here with flowers? It's unbelievable. That's funny though, Mark. Yeah. Just because you don't hear the machine beep does not mean you get the item for free. Well, that may be a good note. Mark, I know we were going to talk about some servicing stuff, but I think we're going to push that out to next week, if I understand correctly. And there's just so much we could be talking about. So, Mark, I'm looking forward to your comments on servicing next week. I've got another meeting I've got to run to in 2 minutes. So, Alan, thanks for joining us. They're dialing in. It's so good to hear your voice. And your segment is always as entertaining as it is informative, Alan. Appreciate you. And congratulations.
Likewise.
On
thank you.
The sale of your company and the purchase of your house. How cool is that? Well, folks, that ends the podcast for today. This so good to have you here with us. We appreciate you being here. Special thank you to Adam DeSanctis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, and Mark Helm joining me each and every week to make this podcast possible with all the information. Also, special thank you to our sponsors, Candor Technologies, Finastra, Form Free, Total Experts, Simple Nexus, the MBA, and Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, as well as Mortgage Advisory Tools and DW Consulting. Folks, check out our website, Lick It On Lending, for all of our podcasts, as well as our sponsors. Each of them have their sponsor page. Encourage you to come back here next week. Looking forward to having you back, and have a great week. These are crazy, wild times, so hang on to your seats. We've got an A ticket at the front of the roller coaster of this crazy time that we're going through. Have a great one, everybody. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.